Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm John Batchelor with George Black. His new book, The Long Reckoning, a story of war, peace, and redemption in Vietnam. It is now the 1990s and the early 2000s, this period between the talk of recognition, diplomatic recognition between the U.S. and between Washington and Hanoi, started in 94, was capped in 95 with the Clinton administration. But between there and 2006, is my note, there was a frozen period where everybody had issues, personal issues, political issues, financial issues, to hang back from the full understanding of what Agent Orange, Agent Purple, Agent White, the herbicides, not only had done to the landscape and the people, but were doing to the next generation, and perhaps more than that. George, beg pardon for interfering in your explanation. It was the Vietnamese research that fixed the dioxin as the poison, TCDD. But the Hatfield organization is also coming in, Canadian, to give us information that points to TCDD as well. But there still was reluctance, and you were explaining why. Please continue, George.
Yeah, I was talking about the connection to liver disease. The first patterns of disease that struck the doctors and scientists in the North were returning veterans, and even veterans in the field on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, where one of these doctors operated a field hospital. They're seeing all these cases of liver cancer in young men in their 20s, and they can't understand it. And then they're coming back to Hanoi or to the North after the war, and their wives are giving birth to these grossly deformed babies, kids with terrible birth defects. And they want to understand the phenomenon. Chris Hatfield and his team arrived with the same question as the others. What do you need? What can we do to help? And the government had a committee at that point, staffed by these scientists I'm talking about, called the 1080 Committee. And the 1080 Committee says, what we need is a really comprehensive study in an area that was heavily sprayed that can really give a soup to nuts picture of how this worked. And the problem is dioxin comes from many different sources. It comes from cement factories. It comes from urban incinerators. You had to find a place that was pristine from a totally non-industrialized point of view. And by an interesting turn of history, the place that the Vietnamese scientists took Hatfield to was the famous A Sho Valley, which was so bitterly important to the war itself. There had never been any industrial development. It was a totally peasant, indigenous community. It had terrible levels of birth defects, and there were no other conceivable sources. So if you found dioxin, you knew it was from Agent Orange. And that gave rise to the idea of the hotspot, that the concentration. People were partly deterred by the idea that the whole country had been sprayed, so how did you begin to get a handle on the problem? A lot of people saying, well, like, is every inch of farmland and forest land still contaminated? And Hatfield set out to map the journey of dioxin from the airplanes into the soil, into the water, into the body. And they found that basically most of the agricultural and forest land was pretty clean. Dioxin had degraded through natural processes. But where it concentrated was in food, particularly the fatty tissue of fish, ducks, and other creatures that absorbed the dioxin into their fat, passed it on to humans. And then really the worst tragedy of the whole dioxin story to me is that breast milk has an extremely heavy fat content. It's what makes it so nutritious. It's the most nutritious thing in the world. And women were expelling dioxin through their breast milk into their babies. So Hatfield's report with the 1080 committee, and it was a joint report. It was not a Canadian report. It was financed by the Ford Foundation because they had the kind of resources and influence that the Vietnamese themselves didn't have. Hatfield produced its report in 2000, presented it to the U.S. ambassador, Pete Peterson, and he basically said, you guys have given me a really big political problem here, because the truth could no longer be evaded. Even then, it took another 6 years before the first aid went in to deal with the problem.
It is now the Bush administration. There is recognition that herbicides are a lingering threat. But what is to be done? How do you track where they are and what is to be, and how do we mitigate them? Along comes a hero. I take it a former infantryman, Michael Kelly, who must be the world's living AI because he tracks all 2,735 installations. What is that? How does that help, George?
Well, it comes out of what Hatfield's chief scientist called the hotspot theory. Most of the dioxin, the worst dioxin in the Ashore Valley, was around the old Special Forces base we talked about earlier, which had been destroyed in 1966. And there had been massive aerial spraying. There had also been massive perimeter spraying of the base to clear the brush. And when the base was overrun, the barrels that were stored there had been smashed and leaked into the ground. And Wayne Dwernichuk, the lead scientist, said, the problem is not everywhere. It's in very localized hotspots of old military bases, and that means you can deal with it. So the next thing was, well, which military bases? Because as you say, there were more than 2,700. And they isolated the problem essentially, not surprisingly in a way, to the big air bases that had been the centers of the herbicide campaign. Because the main problem came from storage and leakage and faulty barrels and thousands of gallons just going into the soil in and around the air bases, which were in major urban areas. Da Nang was one, and that controlled the herbicide campaign in Laos and in Icor. And then Binh Hoa, which is 20 miles outside Saigon, which was the center of operations for the south and the biggest of all the bases.
Yes, and I also noted there was problems at Tan Son Hut. Is that that's the air base in Saigon?
Yeah, Tan Son Nhut was the original center of operation Ranch Hand. It's now the international airport. There is a lingering mystery of whether there was a serious concentration of dioxin anywhere at Tan Son Nhut. But being the international airport, it's always been too hot a potato. It's all been paved over. It's all industrial area now. We'll never know. But that suspicion lingers. But yeah, Da Nang and Binh Hoa were the two proven big ones where Hatfield and the 1080 committee did extensive field investigations and found horrific, horrific levels of dioxin in the soil, the water, the fish. Both air bases included lakes that local people used to fish and sell fish to the markets. So it was getting into the civilian population that way.
I want to understand what it means to have a half-life. Is that the time you're still threatened or you can pass it around?
Yeah, I mean, basically, not to get into the scientific complexity, but yeah, it's the breakdown of the toxic substance and how long it remains a danger. We apply it also to nuclear materials. And yeah, it's in the open air, it degrades very, very quickly through the effect of sunlight. In soil, in the topsoil, it's exposed sooner. You go deeper into the ground, it lasts longer. You go into the water, into the sediment at the bottom of the water, and it lasts even longer. And there are different standards for what concentrations are safe in different kinds of soils. So that was its persistence in the human body is really the issue. And it persists in tissue and is passed down through the generations and lasts for a good number of years in the human body. And like I say, the only way of expelling it from the human body is through breast milk.
the border of the Laotian border with Vietnam was heavily overrun by the aircraft, the C-130s and the C-123s that would come in the morning and spread the mist. And I believe, help me, George, I believe it's a young woman named Susan Hammond, who with her colleagues has the very good idea to investigate Laos, that side of the border, especially the flight paths of the aircraft. Do I say that correct?
Yeah. Susan is an interesting character in the book. She comes into the story later because of her work on Laos. As I said earlier, the spraying of Laos was one of the deepest secrets of the war. And not even the Lao government was kept informed, really, of what was going on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Susan was the daughter of, is the daughter of a veteran, a lieutenant colonel, who served in I Corps and passed away as a result of Parkinson's disease, which is one of the diseases associated with Agent Orange exposure. And she and a colleague, Jackie Chagnon, who had worked with her husband, Roger Rumpf, who was a theologian, they had worked for many years in Laos after the war doing humanitarian relief work for a Quaker-associated organization. And Jackie knew anecdotally from traveling in these very remote mountain areas that there were problems there too with deformed babies, with high levels of disabilities. And Susan set out to map the problem with Jackie. Now, what is interesting and how it relates to what was done at the same time or earlier in Vietnam is that dealing with the problem of dioxin took two tracks. Cleaning up the air bases at Da Nang and Bien Hoa was much more expensive, but it was a technological challenge. And once you overcome the political resistance, it's expensive, but it's, you know, it's doable. And it was less of a hurdle than getting direct aid to the people with disabilities. And that brought in really critically important support from politicians, particularly the recently retired senator from Vermont, Patrick Leahy, and his aide, Tim Reeser, who is a legend in Washington, also just retired. And they said, we've got to turn this into policy. They worked with Charles Bailey. They worked with the scientists. They worked with Susan Hammond and Chuck Searcy. They finally got the first humanitarian aid to Vietnamese victims. And Susan went to Tim Reeser and said, we think we've got a problem in Laos too. We want to just investigate it. So they did. They set about doing a survey and they came back. And I originally published this story in the New York Times magazine a couple of years ago. They proved there were patterns of disabilities. They had the data on which areas had been sprayed. They found that it was in the sprayed villages where the main problem existed. And for the first time last year, just last year, Tim Reeser pushed through the Congress the first ever humanitarian aid program for Lao victims of Agent Orange.
The book is The Long Reckoning, a story of war, peace, and redemption in Vietnam. George Black is the author. When we come back, 2019, and a gathering at Wen Ho, the airfield, of some of the principals responsible for the revelations about herbicides in Vietnam and Laos. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.